Hey there, and welcome to Not Your Average Counsellor, the podcast that's here to shake up your perspective on life, love, relationships, and everything in between. I am your host, V. Vinci, and let me tell you, I am not your run-of-the-mill counsellor, and I'm on a mission to help you uncover the key to unlocking your fullest potential. You see, I've been around the block a few times, and I've probably gathered more life experience than four therapists put together. From battling a brain tumour, to divorce, marriage, grief, parenthood, and supporting my son come out the other side of a life-threatening illness, I've been through it all and then some. So I get my clients, I understand their pain, hurt, and challenges on a very deep level. But what truly sets me apart is my approach. I'm all about keeping it real, keeping it simple, and keeping it effective. Because complexity, well, that's the enemy of progress, and that's why I'm a firm believer in the KISS principle. Because let's face it, life is complicated enough already. This podcast is your passport to a more rewarding and simpler perspective on life. My aim is to help you understand the why that drives your thoughts and actions to create change, embrace growth, and create the life you truly want. So sit back, relax, and buckle up for some truth bombs, laughter, and a whole lot of inspiration. Let's dive in. Not Your Average Counsellor is rated PG. Parental guidance is definitely recommended. Welcome back to another episode of Not Your Average Counsellor, where we are deep diving into the intricacies of relationships and personal growth. Before we jump into today's topic, though, I want to give a huge shout out to all our listeners and the amazing feedback we have been receiving. Your engagement and support means the world to me, so keep those messages coming in. Now let's get down to business. Today, we are delving into the unspoken language of relationships, trust. Trust is like an invisible thread that holds relationships together, yet it's often overlooked or underestimated, especially at the beginning of a relationship. We are going to explore why trust is crucial for fulfilling partnerships and how to cultivate it in your own relationship. So, what exactly is the unspoken foundation of trust in relationships? The concept of the unspoken foundation refers to the underlying role of trust in your relationships, which is often not explicitly acknowledged, especially in the early days. We are actually quite trusting souls, and so whilst we have expectations around trust, we often presume that everyone has the same values. And this isn't necessarily true and doesn't make your partner an asshole just because they don't have the same values around trust. Trust serves, though, as the bedrock upon which various aspects of a relationship are built, including emotional connection, communication, and intimacy. And if I was to have a trifecta of areas that were brought into my office, those three would hit the nail on the head. It's these things that may be different for everyone. And so there is often miscommunication or unspoken assumptions around them. Go back to the episode on unraveling assumptions released in January this year and have a listen to that little chestnut. So, what makes up the trust foundation? Number one, emotional connection. Trust forms the base of emotional connection between individuals. When there is trust, you know that you feel secure and comfortable expressing your true emotions, thoughts, and vulnerabilities without fear of judgment or rejection. This openness fosters a deeper bond and understanding between partners. Number two, communication. Trust is essential for effective communication within a relationship. When there is trust, you feel confident sharing your opinions, your concerns, and needs openly and honestly. You believe that your partner will listen, understand, and respect your perspective. This facilitates productive and meaningful conversations. Number three, intimacy. Trust is fundamental for the development of intimacy in relationships. Intimacy encompasses not only physical closeness, but also emotional connection, vulnerability, and mutual respect. Trust allows you to let your guard down, be vulnerable with your partner, and build a sense of closeness that's essential for a fulfilling relationship. In a nutshell, the unspoken foundation emphasizes the critical role of trust in laying the groundwork for healthy and fulfilling relationships. Without trust, these pillars will crumble, leaving any relationship vulnerable to doubt, insecurity, and conflict. So let's take a moment to look at some common trust issues that couples encounter. One is jealousy. Now, jealousy arises when one partner perceives a threat to the relationship, whether it is real or imagined. It can stem from fear of losing a partner to someone else or with feelings of inadequacy for the individual themselves. So an example is Sarah becomes jealous when her partner Alex spends time with their attractive coworker, even though Alex reassures her that they are just friends. Sarah's jealousy is triggered by her own insecurities and the fear of losing Alex's affection. Now, I know that there are probably 100 women screaming at me, but you've got to look at part of this is I often will have people coming in with accusations of affairs and I have to assess, is this accusation fact? Because if it's fact where there are behaviors or evidence, then yes, you are probably right in that there is an instinct that you know something is going on with, let's use our two examples, Alex and Sarah. But if there is none of that, if there is no evidence, if there are no behaviors from your partner that indicate anything of that, you have to look and ask yourself, shit, is this my own insecurities coming up, impacting my relationship? It's a really, really important thing to look at. And if the answer is yes, then you need to make an appointment to help unpack some of the stuff around that so that you can be helped to see whether there is fact or whether it is perception, because it is one of the big things that I encounter in couples' relationships, jealousy. Number two is a little offshoot of jealousy, insecurity. So insecurity in a relationship often stems from past experiences or unresolved issues, leading individuals to doubt their partner's feelings or intentions. So example, I'm making up names here, right? So Mark constantly seeks reassurance from his partner, Emily, about her love for him. His insecurity comes from a previous relationship where he was cheated on, causing him to project his fears onto Emily and doubt her fidelity. In that situation, Emily hasn't done anything that would indicate that she's cheating on Mark, yet he still feels insecure. The third one, which is a nice nutshell of all of the above, is betrayal. Now, a betrayal occurs when one partner violates the trust of the other, whether it's through infidelity, dishonesty, or breaking promises. So an example, Emma discovers that her partner, Ryan, has been secretly texting an ex-girlfriend despite promising to cut off the contact. The betrayal of trust leaves Emma feeling hurt, angry, and unsure about the future of their relationship. Now, a betrayal is something where there has been an action that has severely damaged the relationship foundation, right? The first two can appear in a relationship where the other partner has done absolutely nothing. And that's how we know that it is probably the individual themselves that needs to work through some of their fears around being in a relationship, and that's okay. The betrayal occurs when there are absolutely definite actions that have occurred and they have been owned, and I've got a couple that come in that are trying to put the pieces of a relationship back together after that. All right, so hopefully you can see the difference with me explaining that. But building trust is like constructing a house. It requires a solid foundation, careful planning, and seriously, consistent maintenance. It is essential for long-term success, and it requires effort from both partners, whether any of the three above occur or not. If you have worked with me, you will know that I use a simple 4-step framework model for trust. The four things that build it are exactly the same 4 things that will break trust. I'm going to give them to you for free. Reliability, do what you say. Congruence, say what you mean. Openness, honest feedback, both positive and negative. And acceptance, who you are is okay. That is the 4-step model that I use pretty much with most people. And if it was as simple to implement as what I'm saying, then I would be out of a job. Even though they are really simple, I think the biggest thing is that people often don't notice where they're not doing something, or they notice what somebody else is not doing, and they're not looking in their own backyard. So, what does it actually look like in a relationship? We'll start with reliability, being consistent and reliable. Consistency in actions and words helps establish trust. Keep your promises, follow through on commitments, all of them, no matter how big or small. Consistency builds predictability and reliability, which are essential for trust to flourish. I've noticed it's the little things that build up and cause issues. If you say you are going to book date night, do it. If you say you are going to put the bins out, do it. If you promise to drive better and lock doors before you leave the house, fucking do it. It's these small things in the scheme of relationships that build up and bite you in the ass later. So, communicating openly and honestly, what does it look like? Transparency. It's the key to building trust. Encourage open communication about feelings, concerns, and expectations. Be honest with each other, even when it's difficult, as honesty forms the foundation of trust. Don't be afraid to bring up your thoughts about something, especially in the early days of a relationship. It's how it's built. In fact, we see trust actually being built really well with a new relationship because you are doing all these things. You're being reliable. You're making the effort to go and see someone or to be consistent. If you say you're going to show up, most of the time you do. Communicating honestly, it's where you start to have those late night talks where you talk to your new partner and you sort of start to talk about things that are important to you or things that you've hidden perhaps to go, oh, I don't even know whether I can say that, but you can. And that's what this trust building phase is about. The next one is really listening. You do that with your new partners, but truly listening to your partner without judgment or interruption can really become compromised the longer the relationship goes on. Now, showing empathy and acknowledging their feelings to create a safe space for open communication is how you have ended up in a relationship. I often look at, when did you stop doing that? What happened that you stopped really listening to each other? And you know, you've got to ask yourself, because sometimes it's not the big things that bring people into my office. Not all the time. I do a lot of couples. Not every single one of my couples has got an affair or a betrayal. Go back to last week's episode, Chore Wars. Chore Wars is the shit that brings people in, and that's got nothing to do with another person. It's got everything to do with reliability and congruence. So, and the really listening. The next big item is demonstrating vulnerability. Now, vulnerability fosters intimacy and strengthens emotional bonds. It's about sharing your thoughts and your fears and your insecurities with your partner and encouraging them to do the same. Being vulnerable allows for deeper connections and builds trust over time. The next one is setting boundaries and respecting them. So establishing clear boundaries in the relationship and respecting each other's boundaries is vital. They create a sense of safety and security. They also demonstrate mutual respect and consideration, something I think we see in new and early relationships, but peters off as the relationship becomes more secure, which is such an oxymoron because you go, well, why would I bother building the trust if only I'm going to break it? And I think that's the thing is people don't realize that they're breaking it with these little things and they just come in with some big item that's the straw that broke the camel's back. Another one that is, and these are all the things, if I'm working with a couple, these are the things I'm putting back in place or helping that couple put back in place. One of the big ones that's really hard is what we're calling in this little segment, celebrating success, right? But in the model of repair for couples therapy, it's acknowledging building appreciation, right? Now, that entails acknowledging and celebrating each other's achievements or noticing the good. Noticing when somebody has done something and you've been wanting them to do it for ages and we go, well, okay, why do I need to appreciate it? But the thing is that that's consideration. It builds respect. It shows somebody that you are noticing the effort that they've made. That's the type of thing that celebrates successes. It will keep things positive while bringing you closer together. All right? Now, if trust problems stick around or get really bad, you've got to reach out for a professional. It takes strategy to rebuild, not luck. A qualified therapist can provide guidance, support, and strategies for overcoming trust issues and strengthening a relationship. And I'm going to talk about this in more detail a little later. Building trust starts very early in a relationship, not necessarily day one, but I think we seem to have lost the art of, you know, sussing out our prospective partners. You are allowed to try before you buy. I totally get that this is a tricky space and definitely needs some balancing between moving too fast and scaring everyone off and being in something for too long that you then don't know how to get out of. I've had lots of relationships over my years, but you know, two significant ones where I was married. They both started out the same. Meet in the pub and have fun for a while. The biggest difference were the topics of discussions when I realized that the fun was turning into more. Number one, well, we had no conversations about anything really. It was just jump on the train and see where it heads. If I'm honest, it was all about fun and we hadn't absolutely had heaps of that. Number two husband, well, he was fun too and he still is. But I knew from last time that a train to nowhere is a fucking disaster. Now, this isn't week one or two of the relationship. This is more month one or two. I knew that the let's meet up on Friday was becoming more of a let's hang out during the week kind of thing, and I wanted more of that. It needed a, so we're hanging out more and more. Is this what you were wanting? Because I do. I then took the opportunity to go full question mode and said, if we're going to do more of this, I want to ask you if you ever see kids in your life. And he said, yes. And that was all I needed. I didn't need to know when, how many, and what fucking school we were going to send them to. I just needed to know that I wasn't jumping on a train that wasn't necessarily going to be heading in the same way I wanted. No guarantees. You can get off anytime. But if you get on at the same point and are mostly headed in the same direction, then you've got a much better start. I think we've lost something in some ways with our gorgeous Y and Z generations. And if you've worked with me before, you will know my affection for generational dynamics and the Y and Z gen. They are my absolute special favorites. So if you are listening, I love you. So don't come hunting for me when I say this. But fuck me, you have made it complicated. The exclusive, the non-exclusive, the casual dating, the friends with benefits. One of the biggest things I hear from Y and Z is that they don't want to label and define their relationships, yet they often come in with extreme anxiety about what their relationship is or where it's heading. The label isn't the problem. It's the ability to have conversations around the commitment that you are looking for in your relationship. This is the conversation that is the most important. Are you getting on the train you want? And if not, you can get off it. But let's talk about what happens when trust is broken. How do you fix what's been shattered? Well, it's not an easy journey, but with patience, understanding, and a willingness to confront the pain head on, trust can be restored. Now, spoiler alert here, I've already told you what they are. Remember, the four things that build trust break it. So you need to reintroduce the four things I spoke of earlier. It is here, though, that you may need to start working with a professional. No matter how much we wish it would, a relationship will not rebuild and repair itself magically. If you want to rebuild, you need to look for strategy, not wait for the wind to change. If you think this is a sales pitch, then you are incorrect. The reason this is often out of reach for couples is because at this point, the trust is completely gone. A breakdown in trust means some big shit has gone down. The first step in rebuilding trust is to acknowledge the breakdown itself and its impact on the relationship. You need to openly discuss what has happened. Take responsibility for your actions and express genuine remorse. For example, if one partner has had an affair, they must acknowledge the hurt and betrayal caused by their actions and express sincere apologies. I couldn't even do that shit with my own marriage, but I'm bloody good at doing yours. Why? Because I don't have the emotional pain from the trust breakdown itself. Number two, effective communication is crucial for rebuilding trust. You need to openly discuss your feelings and concerns and expectations moving forward. This includes being transparent about your thoughts, emotions, and actions. If trust was broken due to dishonesty about finances, for example, you need to commit to open and honest communication about money matters in the future. Very few couples come in with having been able to communicate effectively after a trust breach, even though it's the time you need to communicate the most. And that's because it's often the most emotional time. And the communication that does happen is often critical of the behavior or the person themselves, prompting defensiveness and stonewalling tactics. Who wants to be constantly accused of something? For me, it's not the accusation, it's the acknowledgement of, okay, we're here now. How the hell did we get here? And how do we shift? How do we move forward? It's not about pretending that the event didn't happen. To facilitate that, we set clear boundaries and expectations to create a sense of security and predictability in the relationship. You need to discuss and agree upon boundaries regarding communication, social interactions, and personal space. So, for an example, if trust was broken due to infidelity, you will most likely need to set boundaries around contact with the third party and establish guidelines for yourself for rebuilding intimacy. When I've had couples try and introduce this themselves, can you guess how that goes down? Here's an example. Fuck you. Don't tell me what to do. All right? As mentioned earlier, consistency, though, is one of the keys to rebuilding trust over time. You both need to demonstrate reliability and consistency in words and action. This involves following through on commitments, being accountable for behavior, and showing a genuine commitment to change. Often at this point, being accountable to each other can feel like being scrutinized or attacked or watched. Now, guess what's worse than being accountable to each other? Being accountable to me. although it is much more effective and pushes through the resistance of hurt, which is often behind the stubborn refusal to do the very thing that you often both actually want to do, make the change. Finally, rebuilding trust often involves re-establishing emotional intimacy and connection. This may involve spending quality time engaging in activities that strengthen your bond and express love and affection. Very few partners actually want to do this when trust has been broken, but it is vital for rebuilding the relationship. So you may need help to start off. Now, let's talk about the long-term gain, maintaining trust over time. Just like a garden, trust needs to be nurtured and tended to regularly. And like I've said multiple times today, ongoing communication, setting boundaries, and prioritizing trust-building behaviors are essential for keeping the flame of trust alive. But here's the thing. Trust doesn't just stay within the confines of romantic relationships. It has a ripple effect that extends to friendships, family dynamics, and even work relationships. By fostering trust in all areas of your life, you create solid foundations for meaningful connections and working together. I have worked with some absolutely incredible couples who have faced trust issues head on and emerged stronger than ever. These couples are an absolute privilege to work with, and they navigate the rocky terrain of trust issues, from major trust breakdowns like affairs to breakdowns involving inconsistency with words and actions. But they have all done it with grace and resilience, and I absolutely admire them. Because despite the odds stacked against them, they chose to confront their fears, communicate openly, and embrace change. They had to try something different. And I think it helped to have a bit of a third party in there. It takes the pressure off when somebody makes a mistake, because you do. Because when you're learning something new, you're never going to get it right the first time. Now, their journey serves as a really powerful reminder that trust is not just a destination, but a journey. A journey filled with ups and downs, twists and turns. But through it all, trust remains the guiding light that leads them and all of us really towards deeper intimacy and connection. So, as we wrap up today's episode, I want to leave you with this challenge. Love cannot live where there is no trust. But if you want me to trust you, just be real and honest. Trust may be intangible, but its impact is undeniable. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave me a review, peeps. And as always, if you have any topics you'd like us to explore in future episodes, don't hesitate to reach out. Until next time, keep trusting, keep growing, and keep on learning.
Thanks for tuning in. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate and review this show. Your feedback goes a long way in assisting others to discover this info. So help me continue to help more people by providing your input. And while you're at it, don't stop there. Share this podcast with your friends, family, and on your social media. Don't forget to tag me at @vvincytherapist. Also, I love hearing your feedback and takeaways. So DM me. My inbox is always open. Thanks again. Have a good one.